right. Well, Brother Vladimir Lukanov has been a missionary in Russia for 16 years or more. All right. So I guess possibly going on 17. But in any case, they've been faithful, and that is commendable. God has given them fruit. And as he mentioned, Brother Good was the pastor when they first came, and that goes back a few years.
Amen.
And so the church taking them on at that time, and we faithfully supported them throughout those past 15, 16 years. And just to give you just a quick blip here of how missions work works here at First Baptist Church, individual local churches commit to give these missionaries a certain amount each month. So we're banding together with other local churches and saying, hey, we're going to commit to give this missionary this amount of money. And so they're dependent upon us, and they're dependent upon our gifts. And so I want to encourage you, definitely from our general fund, we give from that, which I believe is an awesome thing that we have the ability to do. Our finances have been great to be able to give out of that to support mission work, but also your faithful giving and your commitments that you've made. And so keep that up. If you've yet to maybe say, I want to set aside a certain amount per week or per month, however it may be, for missions, I would encourage you to give that some thought, because that's getting the word out around the world. And we also have folks that are ministering the gospel here within the states that we support as well. Well, Brother Lukanov, come on ahead and preach to us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. Church, it's a privilege and a blessing to be with you. And unfortunately, yes, the last time my wife and I were here was years and years ago. I think it was right as we were heading to Russia, to Siberia in 2005. So it's a privilege for us to come and report and to just bring a synopsis of our ministry. We've been involved in church planting, and we've been involved in leadership training. And right now we have a very good team in Russia of not just pastors, but also youth workers and people in different ministries and areas that are qualified and are able to teach others. And I think that's what our heartbeat is not just to have fruit, but that fruit would remain and would multiply, meaning that the fruit, the people that we won and we've trained, they're able to win others and train others so they can have the third and fourth generation of believers. And so we're excited about that. Unfortunately, partially because of the war and the political instability, but also for the biggest part because of U.S. sanctions and us not being able to spend any money there. Even if we couldn't get support from the States, I was thinking, well, what if we come to Russia and start a business? Maybe we've had an English school before, and we would create ties in the community, would be able to support ourselves, but even that is not allowed. And every American that we've known has pulled from Russia, all the companies and missionaries and individuals and business people. So for right now, God seems to be closing the door but opening another one. So our plan is in the beginning of October to move to Estonia and band with three other couples from Russia, three other missionary couples, and starting a church in that country. We'll be working with refugees, we'll be working with Russian-speaking people, and in that area of Narva, Estonia, it's a city of 60,000 people, which is the third largest city in Estonia after Tallinn and Tartu. Narva is 97% Russian-speaking, so it's a Russian language, Russian culture, just Estonian citizenship. So, but from that, after we establish a church there, we hope to reach further into Eastern Europe. Of course, we'll remain ties with our Russian ministry and potentially even work together with them in leadership training and church planting as well. So that's our plan, and I believe God is in it. God is blessing. So please continue to pray for us. And I have a prayer card on our table. Please take one and faithfully pray. And I appreciate your faithfulness. So for 17 years, I think 16, 17 years, you've stood behind us and supported us every month. And that's a testament to your faithfulness, to your love for the Lord, love for missions, love for souls. And I pray that you would continue and even increase your influence. But let's turn the Word of God, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read just one verse, Romans 12, 1. And the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to die for us and to redeem us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, each and every one, and you would burden us and you would challenge us for your work and for you just being surrendered, being in love with you, being totally committed to you. Lord, please do your work through the preaching and the reading and hearing of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning as I stand here, I believe that God has a message for us tonight, this morning. And this message is simply God has a purpose. God has a mission. And that mission is to redeem the lost. And so as we train the next generation of leaders in our Bible college, we keep emphasizing this idea, you are saved to serve. Even one year we made them t-shirts with that slogan, you're saved to serve. And this is what I believe Paul is echoing here in this one verse. The message of the entire Bible, not just Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, but the entire Bible, we're here for a purpose. And so as Paul writes this, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, Paul is using this old word, "I beseech you." Now, who knows what this word means? Any English buffs here? Exhort. What else? I'm sorry? Urge. Plead. I challenge. Like, I beg of you. And isn't it interesting that Paul is using this word? Now, he could lean on his apostolic authority, or he could lean on the fact that God is a creator, isn't he not? God owns us. We belong to him in the sense that he made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us, but beyond that, he redeemed us. He sent Jesus, his son, to die for us and to redeem us from sin and give us eternal life. I mean, we're bought with a price. We belong to him. We're his children. And Paul could have easily said, "I command you, therefore, brethren," right? Or God commands you. God directs you. Why do you think he's using the word beseech? Why is he saying, "I beg of you, I plead with you"? Because right after that, he is telling us a reason, and he is appealing to something much greater than authority or sense of obligation or, that we have to. He is appealing to the mercies of God, God's goodness, and God's grace. And hasn't God been good to you? Hasn't God been just So wonderful. I mean, go back to that day that you got saved. I shared my testimony in Sunday school, but to recap, I came to the United States when I was 18 to get rich, to get MBA and maybe get a job here or go back to Russia. My dad was in business at that time, and help him run a company. And that's what I was concerned about. But God placed me with exactly the right family to bring me to church, to care for me. And by the way, what really won me to God was not was the fact that this family was not just Sunday morning Christians, but because I lived with them, I saw they were the same on Sunday as they were on Monday and Tuesday. Their faith was real. They genuinely loved the Lord, and that was so appealing to me. And I said, I want the same. But here's what I didn't share in Sunday school, is I think when I went to college the following year, there was another girl from Russia that came and stayed with a different couple. Now that couple, they were bankers. They were loaded, if I can use that English word. And so she had all kinds of entertainment. I mean, they took her to all kinds of really interesting things, and she had a lot of gifts and all those things. The only place they didn't take her was to church. Even though they were believers, again, they were very nominal, and they were, if I can use that term, just Sunday morning Christians. And they didn't share their faith. They didn't share their testimony and their salvation experience and all of those things. And this girl had no interest in spiritual things. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm standing here today, and God has richly blessed my life. He has given me so many fathers and grandmas and homes. We've stayed on furlough and deputation, and I mean, we've literally been loved by thousands and thousands of people. While that girl Yelena from Russia. Yeah, she got a lot of gifts and she got a lot of toys of this world, but she's never experienced the love of Christ, and she's never experienced the love from the family of Christ. My heart just breaks for that. God has been so good to me. He's been so good to you. God sent somebody in your life. I believe that we all get saved because somebody had a burden to take the gospel and to share it with us. With me, it was my host family. With you, it may be like a coworker or a friend. And possibly you might have gotten saved, you know, reading a tract that somebody left, but somebody had a burden enough to take the gospel tract from church and to leave it at a doctor's office maybe, or gas station, or somewhere like that. Are you that person who is burdened for somebody else? God has been so good. And so Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me step back for a second there. In our ministry in Russia, again, God has been so good. I'll share just a couple stories, and we'll continue with the Word of God. We take a lot of missionary evangelism trips, and a lot of villages and a lot of areas that we try to reach, they're like horrible roads. And so we always have to, this thought is always in my mind, in our minds, like if we take a turn and we go on this road, will we be able to come back? Because we may get stuck for a very long time. And so it happened one time, we're driving down the highway, and it's a paved road and it's nice, and we see this village. We've never been there, this village to the right, it's close to the highway, but the road we see is just dirt road. They just had some rain before. It's all mud. It's all, unknown how deep it is and all those things. And we're in a four-wheel drive bus, a 15-passenger bus, military grade type of thing. But it's built like 30 years ago, and it's rickety, and it's not very dependable. And we're thinking, you know, we're feeling impressed by God to go and knock on doors and talk to people in this village, but we're really concerned about not getting even there. And so, but we decide to brave it and go down that road. We made it on the way there. So stop at the edge, start knocking on doors, and then we realize most of those homes are just boarded up and it's like deserted. And so we go, they have a couple of streets, and we go down one. There's like absolutely nobody there, and really discouraging, because we're like, God, you were impressing on our heart to stop here, and what's going on? So finally get to literally the very end of that street, and we see faint smoke coming out of this chimney. And so we're like, awesome, somebody's here. We get to the gate, and has a big lock on it. We're like, how can it be? So, but we had a young man that decided to knock on the windows, and he hopped a short fence and started knocking all the windows. And sure enough, out of one window, somebody answered. And he's like, awesome. Ended up being a grandma, was in her, I think, late 80s or 90s, literally on her deathbed. She had cancer. Her family lived so far away, they asked a neighbor to watch over her, but they couldn't come and stay with her. She didn't want to leave and go away from her home, and so she was literally dying, laying in bed. She couldn't get up, type of thing. So this young man starts talking to her through the window. The neighbor went to town, and her house was locked up, and so literally that grandma was the only one in that village. And this young man starts talking to her and witnessing to her about the Lord, and she accepts Christ literally on her deathbed. And we're like, we are so just marveling at the grace of God, because, you know, nobody goes to that village, and for that whole day we couldn't reach anybody else, but this soul got saved. And later we heard that she passed away very shortly after that. But God saves souls. I also mentioned in Sunday school, we take medical teams to those villages. And one of the things that we do, again, for evangelism, we type John 3:16 on a regular piece of paper. And so on the very top, it's in tiny, tiny print, probably like font size 6. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten son, a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger. And so we hold this piece of paper in front of a person that comes for medical checkups. And beside getting glasses, we check their heart and glucose levels and help them with medicine and different other things and advice and such like that. But we ask, like, can you read that top line? Read it for me. And they squint and they try their best and they can't. And we say, well, read the next one and the next one. And so finally they get to the line that they can read. And we say, what does it say? And they go, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you understand what you're reading? No. Well, let me show you what it means. And it gives us a chance to open the Word of God and to start talking to them. Literally, God can use anything to start a conversation if you're willing, if you are open for God to use you. You know, God uses all kinds of vessels. And if you're available, if you are surrendering to the Lord, God can use you. And that's what Paul is writing here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice. Now, do you know what the Greek is for your bodies? Your bodies. It literally means all of us. So when I got saved, when I came to the United States in 1994, I heard this wonderful deep, full of meaning Christian hymn, heads and shoulders, knees and toes, knees. But what it illustrates for me is God wants to use every part of our being. So let's just break it down and make it practical, okay? How can God use our brain? What can He use your brain? In what kind of circumstances, or what can He use it for? I mean, witnessing to somebody, besides using our mouth, right? It requires thinking. It requires knowledge. It requires memory. It requires trying to figure out how can I find a road to this person's heart, because all of us are different. The Bible says some we save by fear, as from fire. With some people, we have compassion. With some people, and I mean, we have compassion with everyone, but each one has a different key that unlocks our heart in a way. Some of us God can use to write and to share Christ publicly on the internet. Some of you, God can use your brain just like C.S. Lewis. He was very influential as a philosopher, as an apologist. God can use your voice, whether sharing Christ, also with encouragement, with speaking the truth in love, being salt in terms of you correct when you see untruth or you see something that is wrong, you can speak up. What about our eyes? How can God use our eyes? The Bible says, "My eye affecteth my heart." That is why I encourage everyone, doesn't matter how old or young you are, to go on a mission field. It doesn't really matter where you go. Outside the United States, the world is totally different. And the freedoms and the comforts and the ways that we enjoy here, they're totally different, even in developed nations, but especially in developing nations. And it would give you a much greater burden for the lost. It will give you a much greater burden for evangelism. So I encourage you to open your hearts to the needs of people around you. What about our hands? What are hands a symbol of? Strength. How can God use our strength? And also work, I think, right? Hands is a representative of helping, right? And being a blessing. So many opportunities are opened up through just first meeting people's immediate needs. One time, I just wanted to share a blessing. We have a lot of snow in Siberia. Imagine that, right? And so one time, we had so much snow, our hospital was about to shut down because ambulances had to park like hundreds of yards away from the entrance because they couldn't clear the roads fast enough. So our church volunteered. We got a bunch of strong men, and I think even we hired a couple trucks to come. And so we would manually get snow from the road and pile it in the truck and have it haul away, but to help the hospital to keep up with the snowfall, and they were so appreciative. They didn't ask us. They, you know, didn't pay us or anything like that. But they were so appreciative that after that we had unlimited access to hospital rooms, like the patient rooms, and we could go and pray with patients and witness to them. And you know, we have HIPAA laws just like here. It's a miracle that because of that relationship, because of the us serving a need, we were able to have access to now speak to patients and speak to doctors and nurses and pray with them and be a blessing to them. You know, that's how God can use our hands. What about our feet? The Bible says, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Basically, being ready to go. You don't have to cross oceans. You don't have to go to another country. You have neighbors that need Christ. Young people, you have people in school, your friends in school, that they need Jesus. And when we cross the street, inviting a neighbor, spending time with them, not rushing in our private castle, but being open to people, being ready to go, to develop that relationship, God can use that to speak to hearts. But there is one part right here in the middle, our guts, that I wanted to also talk about. Now, what can God use our guts for? Courage. That's exactly where I was going with that. You know, we have a lot of sayings like, it took guts to do this, right? Isn't it time that we speak for Christ more than before? And not in a mean and obnoxious way, not in a proud way, but isn't it time that we courageously speak for Christ, courageously win people to the Lord, courageously go in faith and do what we've never done before? Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your voice, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your guts, all of you to the Lord. Notice what he says, a living sacrifice. Christ died that we may live. He doesn't expect you to die physically for him. He doesn't expect you to be a martyr. But you know what? It takes a whole lot more courage, I think, to continue and persevere and keep on being a witness, a living witness. But the other side of the story, in order to do that, we have to die to ourselves and to our desires and our wants and our plans and our kingdom, if you will. God wants us to surrender to Him, to yield to Him, a living sacrifice. The Bible says it's holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I want to finish with this. The word reasonable doesn't mean it's fair, doesn't mean it's feasible. The meaning of that word is it's expected. It's your expected service. In the sense that when you plant an apple tree, you expect fruit. When you plant grain, wheat or corn, you expect the harvest. And God is all about a harvest. Our church is the place to prepare for that harvest. Here we hear the Word of God, we get trained, we get our minds transformed, and then we go. And we impact our neighbors in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our county, in our state, in our country, in our world. If the farm doesn't produce fruit, it's just a hobby farm, right? If I as a Christian am not producing fruit, I'm like that barren tree. And God is good and gracious, and He's going to prune you. He's going to supply everything you need, and He has already supplied everything you need. He gave you God's Word. He gave you Holy Spirit inside of you. He gave you peace of God that passes all understanding. He gives you His presence. He gives you knowledge and wisdom and everything that's needed for godliness, for fruitful life. All you have to do is just yield and surrender. There's really no greater joy, no greater feeling than leading somebody to Christ and showing them the way to the Savior, the way to Jesus. And I wanna encourage you, if you have not led somebody to Christ this year, that you would challenge yourself, that you would set it as a goal to win somebody for Christ. Ask the Lord that He would impress a name on your heart. And then, you know, make it practical. Go find a Bible. Go buy a Bible and put that person's name right there in the front, and write him a note or her a note, and look at it every day, and ask God to bless you, and ask God to connect you with that person. Don't just make it a matter of prayer, but be active and be proactive in this. God, what more can I do? God, where can I increase my faith? God, where can I use my voice? And where can I use my my heart, my hands, my feet? How can I serve that person? How can I serve his family or her family? How can I be involved? How can I hear and be attentive to their needs? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, think back on the mercies of God. Think back how God has blessed you. May it like nurture your soul. May it encourage you, and may you realize your identity, that I'm in Christ, I'm God's child, I am a son of God or a daughter of God, I'm an overcomer, I'm a, trying to think of an English word, like I'm an ambassador for Christ, and think of the identity that you have in Christ. Because see, very often we are struggling to witness, we're struggling to share our faith, is because we're so uncertain. But may that goodness of God nurture you and strengthen you. May it solidify where you stand. I am God's child. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed, I am valuable. Nothing that person can say or do will take away my value in Christ. And then be proactive in that. Yield your body. Instead of members of unrighteousness, like Paul says, give it to the Lord. You probably heard that old saying or old parable about a farmer having two dogs, and he would have dog fights, and somebody asked, well, how do you always know which dog wins? And he says, well, it's the dog that I feed the most is the strongest, and that's who wins. In our life, we have flesh and we have the spiritual nature. the one you yield the most to your members, your body, is what is going to win. So every morning, how often and I have to confess, the first thing I do, I reach for my phone and check what I've missed on social media. But may God get that time. May God get your brain and your attention and your creativity and your time. How can you use it for the Lord? How can you serve your family? Raise your family for Christ, which is your reasonable service. I encourage you to surrender to God. Paul's message is for everyone. There's absolutely no one that is included. And Paul is writing to get us on mission, get us excited about what God is doing around the world. God is very active. Somebody mentioned Voice of the Martyrs. They constantly share how God is using regular Christians all around the world to change lives. You know, God can use you as well. I want to challenge you to surrender to the Lord. I want to challenge you to consecrate your whole self, not just part, not just half, because God says, I want you to love me with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole strength, and with all of your soul. And that's the greatest commandment. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you for Jesus who loved us and died on the cruel cross for us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would surrender to your calling. Lord, help us to know what your will specifically for my life is. And Lord, I pray that we would lean on you to fulfill that call, to fulfill that your desire, your will in our lives. Thank you, Father, for this faithful church that supported us and so many other missionaries all around the world. Lord, I pray as we transition and we go to a totally new country for us, Lord, that you would pave the way and you open hearts, you open opportunities, help us to serve you faithfully and without backing out, without fear, without stumbling, because you are faithful. Lord, I pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come.